Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. I thank you for particularly the words that have come through those that spoke them. I thank you for the songs that have been chosen. I thank you, Lord God, for the prayer time we had out in the back room and just where you clearly spoke to us. And Father, I pray that this word would not only be a word in season, but it'd be a word that you would grace, it'd be a word that you'd put your anointing on, it'd be a word, Lord God, that we would see outwork in our lives as you continue to do your new thing. And so, Lord God, I just pray that you would overshadow what you put upon my heart this morning. I thank you for the bits of paper I have in front of you, but without your anointing are nothing. And so I pray that you would grace me with your anointing now. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we had 3 weeks off, Chris and I, the longest break we've had, I think, in about 10 years, and it was fantastic. And yet, prior to Christmas, obviously for every one of us, it was a busy time. And I reflect on our Christmas season and know how busy it is, but the way that this year outworked for me personally was a really refreshing time. It started off with that carol service that we had on a Sunday evening, the Encounter Carol service, and I thought that was an incredibly fantastic initiative. Again, a pity that more people weren't there, but just to be able to soak in the spirit of Christmas before all the hype of Christmas was just a fantastic thing. And to be a part of our worship team and part of what God was doing in regard to the songs that they chose and just the opportunity just to allow God to overshadow us was just a great thing. And I sat down in my seat, it's somebody else's seat I've heard in the last couple of weeks, but I sat in the seat that I was sitting in and I heard God speak to me. Now, not audibly, I don't get audible voices, but I get pressure thoughts. And I wrote this word down on my card that I had in my pocket and I thought nothing more of it. I thought it might have been for somebody else, it might have been for a word during the evening, but it wasn't. It was a word for me, a word that God was challenging me on. And the more I sat there, the more I recognized what God was doing and what God was saying. And so I want to follow that word on now and pass it to you because I believe it's not only a word for me, it's a word for us in what God wants to do this year. And again, as Andy talked with us as a staff in regard to the theme that he felt that God had placed upon his heart, which I'm not going to tell you because he will, I felt that this word was a part of what Andy has been feeling and what Andy has felt for this year for our church. For those who like titles or are into titles, rather than doing an Andy and giving it to you halfway through the sermon, I'm giving it to you now, okay? Do you notice that Andy's been a bit cheeky this morning, picking on people everywhere? Just not fair, not fair, Matt, not fair, Nick. Just seriously not fair. You can get him back anytime you want, okay? Okay, title, Being Infused with God. Now, to infuse is to cause something to be permeated with something that alters the original substance, usually for the better. Or it's to cause someone or something to take in and be filled with a quality or condition of mind. Or to soak in a liquid to extract the flavour or healing properties. You can infuse something. In hospitals, we often get infused. If you have a drip put in, Steph, infusion, thank you. Got it right. So the cinnamons of infuse, and I feel really clever saying the word cinnamons because I failed fourth form English, year 10 English, and my English teacher's probably dead, but she'd be very happy with me right now. To even be able to say the word cinnamons is just a good thing. Cinnamons for infuse are to fill. What am I saying it wrong? I've spelled it wrong. She wouldn't be very happy with me. Cinnamons for infuse are, be quiet. To fill, pervade, permeate, saturate, inspire, inundate, to steep, to brew, to stew, to soak, to immerse, to marinate. What God was challenging me, and what I hope is going to challenge you today, is that God wants you to soak in Him. He wants you to be immersed in Him. He wants you to marinate in Him. He wants to stew you in Himself, to brew you in Himself, to steep you in Himself. He wants to impact our lives. Now, the most common day-to-day example of infusing would be when we make a cup of tea. We put a tea bag in a teacup, we dip it, we pull it out, and we have infused that plain water with those tea leaves to the point that we get a taste of the tea. The flavour of the tea is infused into the water, and we see that by the changing of colour, by changing of the flavour. So as I meditated on this, that's a beard hair. As I meditated on this, as I meditated on our walk with God over my holiday period, I realised that our infusing with God has a two-part process to it. As always in God, there's a God part and then there's an our part. And so let me talk to you about the God part before I go any further. God's part takes place automatically. Automatically, I say, when we invite Jesus to come into our lives. Romans 8, 9 and 10 says this, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although your body is dead to sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Not our righteousness, but Jesus' righteousness. The second, the instantaneous second that we invite Christ into our life, the Bible says our spirit is infused. It's made alive with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8 it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Now you have to read the story, read the end of Mark, go into Acts, and just read the story about the disciples to understand exactly what this scripture is really saying. We know that the disciples' lives were changed in that upper room when the Spirit came upon them. The proof of that can be seen in looking at the life of those disciples prior to that upper room experience, prior to receiving the Holy Spirit. They were weak, they were fearful. We know that Peter denied Christ. In fact, at the end of Mark, there's three unbelief scriptures where Jesus challenges them in regard to their unbelief. They were unbelieving because they didn't believe what he had told them when he was walking with him about his need to die and that he would be rose again. They went on and didn't believe what God was going to do in their lives. So there was three unbeliefs. Peter's unbelief, he denied Christ. We know that the disciples slept during Jesus' hour of need. We know that they fled when Jesus was taken before Pilate and then when he went to the cross. But the minute they were endued with power on high, the minute they were filled or baptized, immersed or infused in the Holy Spirit, things changed in their lives. Obviously, they spoke in tongues. We know that because they were claimed to be drunk, which they weren't. But more than that, and oh, more than that, how can it be more than that? A boldness came upon them. A boldness came upon them where instead of denying Christ, instead of running away from Christ, instead of denying anything and everything that they did with Jesus, they were the 12 that God used to create what we see right across the world today. They spoke of Him. They healed the sick. Even their shadow going past them touched people's lives. They were prepared to face the Pharisees and boldly proclaim Christ, saying that they would not deny him again. The Pharisees, the ones that actually took Jesus to Pilate. In fact, as we read on, all but one were martyred for their faith and their belief in Christ. And that's what that scripture means. You'll become my witnesses. You'll become my martyrs, the scripture actually says. That power, that endued, immersed power, that infused power that comes upon us when Christ comes in our life, changes us spiritually to the point that we become different people, able to do the things that we never thought we could do. This morning, if you haven't got this power resident in you, if you haven't been infused with the Holy Spirit and you want it, then all you have to do is invite Jesus into your life. Now, as I was putting this together, I was thinking about that, and I'm thinking, well, most of the people in church, if not all, will be Christian. We don't know online who's watching, but we would assume many of them are Christian. But I felt strongly that God wanted me to walk you through a salvation message right now. Two reasons. One, because there might be people here today who want to invite Jesus into their life. But secondly, I believe that this year God wants us to be more proactive in inviting people to Christ. And therefore, we have to know how to do it. And so I'm going to show you very, very simply. And I'm not an evangelist. But on the same token, we have been given the Holy Spirit. We have been infused with the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses. Now, we're not wise enough to win souls. None of us are. Only God is one wise enough to win souls. But our job is to witness. And there might be someone in your workplace, somebody who you play sport with, someone who you mix with regularly, who says to you, I want to become a Christian. And so this is what you do. And this comes from the Billy Graham Association. And I, as you know, appreciate immensely Billy Graham and the Billy Graham organization and what they do. Billy Graham, greatest evangelist I believe we've ever seen or I've ever seen. His message was simple because God told him to keep it simple. And so this is simply all you need to understand. And the notes will be on the website, I think Monday. You can pull them down, you can copy them, you can learn them. But step one is to know that God loves you and God has a plan for your life. The Bible says that in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, that who believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And Jesus said in John 10:10, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly, a complete life full of purpose. But we do have a problem. The problem is that man is sinful and separated from God. Why? Because we have all done, thought, or said bad things, which the Bible calls sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the result of sin is death, spiritual separation from God. But then God gave us his great plan, the good news. Step three, God sent his Son to die for your sins. Jesus died in our place, so that we could have a relationship with God and be with him forever. In Romans 5:8, it says that God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, there might be some in this room and you're saying, well, I'm not good enough to become a Christian. Well, none of us are. None of us are, none of us were. While we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. But it didn't end with his death on the cross. He rose again and he still lives. And that's an incredible victory. In 1 Corinthians 15:3 to 4, it says, Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to Scripture. In John 14:6, Jesus is the only way to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so step four is to invite. Would you like to receive God's forgiveness? And again, if you're in this room today and you haven't asked Jesus into your life, if you haven't asked for forgiveness, or if you feel as though you've walked away and you'd like to do it again, if you're online today and you would like to say this with us, then I'd love you to do it. We can't earn salvation. We are saved by God's grace when we have faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. All we have to do is believe that we are sinners, that Christ died for our sins, and ask of His forgiveness. Jesus Christ knows us and loves us. What matters to Him is the attitude of our heart and our honesty. And so I'd like to invite any who feel led to pray this following prayer to accept Christ as your Saviour. Now, I'm going to put this on the screen. Thanks, Dave. And I'd like us all to pray it, if you wouldn't mind. And again, let's do this with sincerity and let's do it with understanding. Let's do it together. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he died for my sin and that you raised him to life. I want to trust him as my Saviour and follow him as Lord. From this day forward, guide my life and help me to do your will. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you've prayed this prayer this morning, first of all, if there's anyone that prayed this prayer in the room this morning, could you just raise your hand? We're not going to embarrass you. Okay. If you prayed this prayer this morning online or in the service, I'd love you to come and see me or Nick or Andy, Chris or whoever at the end of the service. If you're online, we'd love you to make contact with us through the website. We'd love to celebrate what you've done. And so, having done that, God's part is that we are infused with the Holy Spirit. But then we come to our part. Having asked Jesus into our lives and being filled or immersed, sealed or infused with the Holy Spirit, God says that we are to be continually filled. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. In the Greek text, that word be filled really means to be. It's a present tense. It means to be continuous. Giving that verse this meaning. And don't be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be continually filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In short, this continual filling is something that happens all the time. You turn a tap on, water flows out of a dam, water comes back into the dam. We use the Holy Spirit. We exercise what we do. It's not that it's running out. It's just that we need to be continually filled with the Spirit. And this is where our part takes place. And it's what God has been challenging me on since that Carol's encounter evening. To be filled, to be continuously filled, to be infused and continuously infused with the Holy Spirit. So let's go back to making that cup of tea. It just so happens that I have a tea bag. Fancy that. Now, this is how a lot of us infuse ourselves in God daily. We put the tea bag in, we dip it a couple of times, and that's it. And we think we've done our bit. We say a prayer, we read a scripture, colours change just a little bit, you might see that. We don't take time. We don't spend time in this fast-paced, instantaneous world that we live in. We want results immediately. You know, when you're watching telly, a goal is kicked in football, and by the time that ball is taken from behind the goalpost and back to the bounce, we've had two ads. We are so instantaneous now that things are happening like that all the time. And in our Christian walk, unfortunately, we've got into the habit of things having to happen easily, having to happen instantaneous. I've heard people say, I prayed and nothing happened. Obviously, God doesn't want me to be healed, or doesn't want me to get that job, or doesn't want me to get that partner, whatever the case is. We've dipped the tea bag and expected an immediate result without recognizing that we are not allowing ourselves to be infused the way God wants us to be infused. I was listening to a radio program when I was away, and for some reason they were talking about this fast-paced world that we live in, and the lady that was talking said, you know, we are in the day of the microwave instead of the slow cooker. And I thought that would be an incredibly great example. We push a button and we zap something without allowing something to slowly cook with all the flavors coming together. Beautiful stew. Being continually filled requires patience. It takes time and effort. And the more you do it, the more you change. It is something we are to do until we leave planet Earth. So, I just happen to have some more tea bags. So I'm going to put these tea bags in this water. And during the rest of the service, we're going to allow those tea bags to soak, to infuse themselves. And as we do that, we'll see what happens to that water. We'll see what God would like happen to us as we wait, as we soak, as we immerse ourselves in Him. So let me show you a couple of ways the Bible says that we are to be infused. And it's only a couple, there's plenty of them. The first one that came to mind as I was thinking about this was the word wait. Isaiah 40, 31 says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When we wait on the Lord, that's when God can change us. When our tiredness falls away, when our lack of strength falls away, when our lack of zeal falls away, to the point that we will run and not be weary. We'll walk and not faint. In Lamentations 3:25, it says, the Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. Our soul needs to be impacted by the Spirit, not by the flesh. The soul sits in the middle, and the Spirit is here, and the flesh is there. If we're led by the flesh is impacting the soul. But if we wait, if we allow the Spirit to permeate us, it's the soul that is changed into the likeness of the Spirit, which then outworks and changes what we do in the flesh. In Isaiah 30, verse 18, it says, the Lord is God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait on Him. And so, waiting on God, waiting on God, is a way that we can be continually filled, infused with God's Spirit. Another word that came to mind was the word meditation. And, you know, we often see words being robbed by the enemy, words that are very powerful in God. You know, you see the rainbow being robbed by the enemy. He couldn't change what God had done, so he polluted what God had done by taking over the rainbow. And we see plenty of words in God's word that have been taken and robbed from their intentional meeting. Other religions tell us to empty our minds. Get rid of everything there. Just get a vacuum in space in your mind right now and meditate. In doing that, how clever is the enemy? You empty your mind so that he can fill it with his yuck, where God's meditation is very different. God teaches us not to empty our minds, but to bring our thoughts into captivity and to meditate on him. Psalm 119:97 says, "Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all day." In Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have success." You don't need a book on 7 steps to be successful. You just need 1 step. Meditate on my word. Do not depart from it. Be careful to do everything that it says to do. Then you will make your way prosperous. Not God will make our way prosperous. Then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have success. Psalm 119, verse 15, "I will meditate on your precepts and I will regard your ways." And then this beautiful psalm, Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in season." See that? Yield its fruit in season. A fruit tree in the natural never, ever, ever produces fruit in the same season that it was planted. In fact, some fruit trees take 7 years before they actually bring forth fruit. We need to wait. We need to immerse ourselves. We need to have patience for God to do his thing. It says that its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. For somebody in this room right now, it was just so strong on my heart as I was reading those scriptures. You are being confused at the moment, or you are in confusion at the moment. You're not doubting God's word, but you're believing what the world is saying. You're seeing things around you happening, and it's robbing you because it's real. It's a truth, but it's not the truth. You can trust God's word. You can rest in God's word. And when you see something come against God's word that you know is not what you've believed or been taught, don't allow yourself to be robbed. Just wait. Just meditate. Just have confidence in God's word. And I promise you, it will outwork to bring success. Whereas those that are diverted or falling off from the word of God will lose success, will not prosper. The Bible says that. By thy fruit you shall know them. It takes time to see fruit. Don't get caught up. Don't get sucked away because of the tantalizing, teasing cares of this world. Deceitfulness of riches, I think Mark says. Other things creeping in and robbing God's word. That's for somebody here. Then the last word that God put on my heart was the word soaking. Soaking in the Spirit is intentionally getting into the presence of God. It's like hopping in a bath. It's what we do when we wait, when we meditate. And I believe that God wants us to become spiritual prunes. He wants us to stay in the tub, allow our skin to get all wrinkly, make certain that we are permeated by His Spirit. It's about time that we take the focus off ourselves and we let God move how He wants in our lives. Soaking God's presence softens our heart. It makes us more like Jesus. It changes us in a way that we can't unchange. I love that thought. It changes us in a way that we can't unchange. Put simply, soaking in the presence of God completely transforms us. Soaking transforms us. We didn't get that just from a dip. We get that from allowing God to permeate us, to infuse us with His presence, to the point that we change colour, we change flavour, and people on the outside can see what God has done. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." When we spend time soaking in God, we find a place of rest and peace. Colossians 3:10, and this is just a most beautiful scripture. "And having clothed yourselves with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remoulded into fuller and more perfect knowledge, after the image, the likeness of Him who created us." Immersed ourselves, clothed ourselves, allowed God's presence to impact us into a more perfect knowledge after the image, the likeness of God who created us. We can't honour God more than wanting to become more like Him. And that is something that we have to do intentionally. So as I come to a close this morning, I'd like to leave you with a challenge. A challenge which I personally have taken on, to be intentionally infused with God this year. Not once, but continually. It might mean that you need to re-establish elapsed God's time each day, where you wait, where you meditate, where you soak yourself in God. Might mean that instead of reading a book or watching something on YouTube as you travel on the train, that you close your eyes and you soak in God, you meditate on a scripture. Can I encourage you to listen to my sermon, which was "It's About Time." I did it on the 10th of July last year. In that time, or in that sermon, I talked about redeeming the time, doing a time budget, to make certain that God has a priority in our life. Another way to effectively infuse ourselves is to do something that we talked about probably 15 years ago, and that's the word SOAP. Scripture, observation, application, and prayer. We had journals printed. We gave everybody a journal, and people daily would either walk their way through the Bible, the Psalms, the Proverbs, John, whatever, and not read a lot, but just take a section of Scripture, read it, and then ask themselves, "God, what are you saying to me in this Scripture?" Having written that down in your journal, then you write down the application. "God, what is it that you want me to do with what you're saying to me right now?" And then you pray about it. A great way to soak in God, a great way to meditate, a great way to wait on Him. Okay, let's pray. Father, I just pray that you would overshadow us right now. Lord God, I know that the message I've spoken is a message that you've been speaking into my heart as I've had time to just smell the roses again and sit by that river, Lord God. But I pray that you would just impact us, and that, Lord, that we would not only know that you've done your part and infused us with your Spirit. But Lord God, that we have a part to play, and that part is to be continually and ongoingly filled with your Spirit. I think of those in this room right now who, Lord God, have dry bones. They're feeling a little bit parched. Lord God, this is not a judgment. This is not guilt. This is just, hey, God, I want your moisturizer to soften me afresh. God, I want to be usable for you this year. I want to impact those around me for you this year. But Lord God, I know I need to be soaked in you again. So Lord God, have your way. Move by your Spirit. Hover over your word today. And Lord, I ask that you would do what you want to do with it in people's lives right now. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.